old snake on my back. I keep a red bone on my side.
Radio, you're tuning in live this Thursday, May 17th, 2018 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. And wild ride it is, to be sure. It just gets wilder and crazier all the time. Dystopic and bizarre. As I explained yesterday, as we go through a four-part series, and the four parts are narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA. They all go hand in hand. And there's sort of a soft break, or there's an overlap in the series. And, you know, that's I have mixed feelings about that. In today's society, sort of quippy soundbite society, everyone expects, you know, the seven rules or the three ways to identify or the and hard breaks in content, if that makes sense. But in truth, all of this information, all of this content, and the contextual background to it really sort of bleeds together. There really is no hard break. And so I have mixed feelings about that. While I understand and I want to sort of cater to a certain engineered understanding or contextualizing of all things, really, you know, we got to break it down like the technocrats want to do. We got to break it down into certain algorithmic data arrays and things like that. It's, you know, that's not life. That's not reality. And it's interesting, just as a side note, the more we sort of gravitate that direction, instead of going out and putting our hands in the dirt and getting in touch with reality, quite literally in some cases, the more we kind of drift in the other direction or are encouraged to gravitate in the other direction, the more detached from reality we become, which reminds me of books like Simulacra and Simulation by Jean Baudrillard and, of course, Romans chapter 1. Nothing good comes from that drift. We start to, you know, you don't even have to be a Christian to see that what God tells us in Romans 1 is a sort of danger of happening. We gravitate toward the bizarre and the unnatural, and pretty soon we have a complete detachment from the natural and reality, for that matter. That's what Jean Baudrillard wrote about in Simulacra and Simulation. You have this homage, like on the web. I've talked about this before. On the internet, you have these buttons that were supposed to emulate real-life physical buttons. You know, buttons in a menu, for example. Remember the old raised button concept? We don't need the button anymore because everyone understands. Now we've sort of serialized the menu concept, and you have different visual pattern recognition on websites. The Z pattern, for example, from the logo on the left, across the menu on the top, down diagonally from top right to bottom left of the front page above the fold, for example, and then back to the right. That's the Z pattern recognition. So we've serialized some of those things, and therefore you don't need the raised button, so to speak. But there is a reason for that, and you can still find people trying to use those design patterns, many of them outmoded. But the point is we lose the context and the reference to the reason or the authentic or the reality that started that process of design in the first place. Romans chapter 1 speaks to this. Jean Baudrillard's book, Simulacra and Simulation, speaks to this, among others. And pretty soon, if we're not careful, we're entirely detached by just a process of a few degrees, about 4 degrees, according to Jean Baudrillard. Suddenly, we're just entirely detached from reality, no connection to it. And the tie-in here is that that is sort of where we are at with regard to this series. Again, the four parts: narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA. So the relation is we have a rampant and pervasive epidemic of narcissism in our culture. And narcissism itself is dangerous because it is so pervasive. Apparently, it's one of those things that is difficult, if not in many or most cases, impossible to break away from. I mentioned the 9 symptoms the DSM-5 identifies as traits of the person who suffers from NPD, narcissistic personality disorder, over the last couple of days. But I didn't mention, you know, those sort of tips, tricks, and techniques. How do you recognize or whatever? There are lots of videos, YouTube videos, for example, and books and things you can read on that. But for our purposes, we want to kind of stick to the fact that it is a psychological disordering of and detachment to reality, a bizarre sort of upending of reality. And that lends itself to identity politics, because if you are not connected, you're detached from reality, then you have a warped perception of things and people. And in many or most cases, the narcissist actually doesn't view people as people. They view people as things. And again, you know, coming to this point, I've spoken to things like Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm not particularly a fan, but it's interesting how these milestones bring us to here. Maybe that means that I shouldn't mention them. You know, for example, what I mean is it's interesting that you know, the ACLU and the SPLC in some cases they're the front lines of freedom fighting these days in America, where when they began, they were liberal, COINTELPRO propaganda sort of outlets, pretty unabashedly. And only people whose interests were served by their propaganda were fans. Everybody else kind of went, yeah, they're liberal. And, you know, I don't want to get into the false talking point of liberal, the perversion and adulteration of the term liberal. From now, it's now, you know, a true liberal is a classic liberal, which is ridiculous. And progressives are anything but I digress. So, you know, Stephen Covey wrote about the concept of the distinguishing between being efficient with things. You know, the title of the book is The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, but what does that mean? And so he made the distinguishing between being effective and efficient. And basically what he wrote was we should think of it in terms of, you know, we're encouraged to behave in a way that, well, you know, human resources, for example, we have these kinds of elephants in the room that are ignored. Bad guys set up systems, you know, Peter Drucker kind of stuff, you know, all of this, you know, fire the bottom 10%, Six Sigma, lean management, all of this kind of nonsense basically treats people like things. And as I've mentioned before, in a system run by technocrats, and even Peter Thiel admitted this, in his talk, Conversations with Tyler, conversation with Peter Thiel at Mercatus Center over at George Mason University back on March 31st of 2015. Peter Thiel even said this, and there were, you know, folks remember there were the subsequent articles, mainstream articles, including Washington Post, Breitbart had their big article, because Peter Thiel said, when he was asked the question after the conversation with Tyler Cohen, he reflected and said, you know, to call America a constitutional republic or democracy is very disingenuous. I'm paraphrasing, but, you know, he said, America is dominated by these technocratic agencies. And this, you know, an advisor to the president who is also a Bilderberg steering committee member and, you know, a polymath somewhere on the autism spectrum. Not that that matters particularly, but, you know, Peter Thiel is no dummy. To listen to him speak, obviously he's a very intelligent, very articulate guy. And so he wasn't being hyperbolic. But we have these elephants in the room, and people don't – again, this speaks to that detachment from reality. What does it do? As I always say, watch the feet. Don't listen to the lips. What does it do? So Stephen Covey wrote in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, we should be effective with people and efficient with things or tasks. We don't want to be efficient with people. Unless, you know, we're talking human resources, which is a bad thing. And so the point about the technocrat situation, and, you know, we are overrun by technocratic overreach. That was what the technocrats did at the turn of the 20th century, not to get too far off on that. But, you know, many folks have written about this. R.J. Pristrito's article, The Birth of the Administrative State, Where It Came From and What It Means for Limited Government, is one of the best, perhaps, to understand how government was re-engineered to be run by the experts. You know, Woodrow Wilson was writing about that in academia before the turn of the 20th century. And so it's no surprise, you know, you read Edward Bellamy's plagiaristic work, Looking Backward. You know, Edward Bellamy, the Fabian socialist, cousin of Francis Bellamy, who is, you know, the Pledge of Allegiance is attributed to, and including the Bellamy salute, the fascist, you know, Nazi-looking Bellamy salute kind of thing that we still see bouncing around these days. You know, presidents, Obama, Trump, and everybody, Bush, they seem to be doing that salute every once in a while. Maybe it's the camera angle. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's plausible deniability. Anyway, you read Looking Backward. It's considered a utopian science fiction novel. I call it dystopian. But Looking Backward, 2018-87, a plagiarism of many other works, it was very popular in its day, is a sort of heralding of the coming technocratic age in many ways. And so, you know, you can see this. By the turn of the 20th century, though, the technocrats, especially in the Wilson administration, between Wilson and FDR in particular, the technocrats really gained a rock-solid foothold in the bedrock of American politics, unfortunately. But so we've seen the rise of this technocratic overreach over the past century and a quarter or so in particular. And now we have books like Patrick Wood's Technocracy Rising. Holy cow, that's like 11th hour kind of title. Technocracy Rising is somewhat disingenuous because it was rising back in the 70s. That's not a slight on Patrick Wood. He's doing his best to inform folks, and you can learn more about that over at technocracy.news, Patrick Wood's website. I think the book should be on the top of the homepage and probably every other page inside. You have to go to store these days. It used to, when it was first published, it was there at the top. Anyway, Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, is sort of definitive discussion on the good guy side of things, so to speak. And Patrick Wood is an authority on the subject, especially, you know, Brzezinski Trilateral. I mean, he was the co-author with the late, great Anthony Sutton of Trilaterals Over Washington, for example, which was an early expose of the Trilateral Commission, its members, and what it was doing. You know, talking about things like Jimmy Carter saying, we don't want any of those, you know, establishment types from the CFR. And then he was illuminized, in his own words, basically, by the trilateralists, including Brzezinski, who, as I think it was Woodrow Wilson, who referred to Edward Mandell House as his alter ego. So Carter probably could have said the same thing about Brzezinski, speaking of, you know, the Edward Mandell House, Philip Drew administrator types operating the mechanism of invisible government from behind the wizard's curtain, or maybe with one foot on this side of the wizard's curtain from time to time. Anyway, backing out of all of that, though, Stephen Covey said we should be effective with people, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, being effective with others, effective interpersonal or interdependence, interpersonal relations, and efficient with things. We shouldn't, in other words, we shouldn't treat people like things. But again, getting back to this narcissistic, deranged society that is comprised of this, and in the Bernaysian sort of era, Bernaysian propaganda, consumer, producer, prosumer, you know, Alvin Toffler term, in the prosumer sort of society, people are encouraged to really kind of behave in a very evil, selfish sort of way. And a number of forces conspire against the citizen, so to speak, to encourage folks or induce that sort of behavior. You know, there's everything from the fact that inflation is legalized theft, basically. And the way Aaron Russo put it in his last talk, I think, was very apropos, you know, paraphrasing that. Basically, inflation is an implicit cause of the sort of evil practices that people engage in business, trying to stave off the ill effects of their wealth being stolen by inflation, it being eaten away over time, you know, like moths in your closet. People don't understand, but, you know, not to get off on that either, but in simple terms, the way this fiat system works, they call it, what's it called? Fractional reserve system, which is an oxymoron. People don't understand. There are a number of videos that you can watch that prove that, I mean, it's inflation at work. You put $1,000 in a bank, for example, and then they are able to create out of thin air the Mandrake mechanism, as J. Edward Griffin puts it, more specie currency, which is then loaned out and then probably deposited somewhere else. And then a fraction of that is held on deposit, and then the rest is loaned out, and more specie currency is created. And in the process, your savings are depreciated several times. We'll be right back.
If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank-you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Welcome back. I'm not just waxing soft in some ethereal existentialist rant, I assure you. There is a point to all of this madness. So, you know, again, the series is narcissism, four-part series, narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA. And the series sort of created itself, I guess, based on the subject matter. I've been threatening for weeks to talk about the issue of color revolution and the CIA more in depth. The CIA, shoot, we could do, you know, dozens of broadcasts on that. Reminds me of when I did 3 months on the administrative state back in like 2008. 3 months straight. And I feel like we barely scratched the surface, dug in on names and places and, you know, events, key events and things. So this is, you know, if you see what's going on, all of the subject matter is related. The way I would say it, narcissism lends itself to, is instrumental. It's sort of the handmaiden of identity politics, which we'll get into. Identity politics is instrumental in color revolution, the sort of disenfranchised, you know, the disconnected narcissistic disenfranchised so-called minority of whatever sort, because, you know, everybody in identity politics, everybody's a disenfranchised minority of some sort. But that's how Marxism works. It divides everyone up amongst themselves. And so, again, the operative quote is Nesta Webster's quote, "To deceive the people whose simple faith..." Well, no, actually, she wrote in World Revolution, The Plot Against Civilization, "It is difficult to write of these things calmly," which I think cannot be overstated. It's true. When you see how manipulative and beguiling ne'er-do-wells wire people, engineer people in cybernetic fashion in such a way that they become destructive to themselves and one another, it is despicable in its diabolical brilliance. It's just absolutely reprehensible because, you know, it kind of reminds you of Sean Parker's admission in that Axios talk. We knew what we were doing and we did it anyway. That's what the Marxists do. The Marxist intellectuals, if you will, and their instigators, I guess, their leaders. Because remember, you know, in the Marxist-fueled insurgency, the insurrection, as Mike Huckabee put it, as interesting again, that page on the CFR disappeared, cfr.org/election/Mike Huckabee's speech foreign policy/P14335. Actually, three threes. It's 143335, and there's dashes between. But I tweeted that last January 2017, and shortly thereafter, the page disappeared. Like some other things, you know, Richard N. Haas's Sovereignty and Globalization from 2006, that vanished. You know, nations have to cede some sovereignty. Excuse me, what? Yeah, we can't have that stuff hanging around in the historical record. But Mike Huckabee said on the 2008 campaign trail while he was prostrating himself before the CFR at the CSIS, Center for Strategic and International Studies, is where the speech was given, but it was a CFR speech, an illuminized, you know, esoteric, Masonic, CFR, CSIS sort of speech, insider, old school bad guy speech. He said, besides the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, See, they always want to attack the intellectuals. Somebody that is a free thinker, someone who can think for themselves, who's not attached to some kind of manipulative form of mind control and propaganda, someone who doesn't want to defend their kidnapper, as these people always, you know, in Stockholm syndrome fashion, as they always want to engineer people to do. But Huckabee said, besides the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, we face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. He was speaking with the Islamic view or the Islamic world in view. That's a disingenuous discussion we've covered other times, won't cover it now. But then he said to create havoc in the world, what? How do you create havoc? We'll talk more when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now, and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Again, this isn't just some ethereal existentialist rant. It's important to understand what is happening so that we can navigate these volatile and tumultuous waters that are being fomented. It is important to recognize how these forces are being fomented. And I think really, kind of like the Death Cult Ideology series, this brief series on narcissism, identity politics, color revolution, and the CIA really kind of cuts to the heart of the spirit, the revolutionary spirit, the Marxist revolutionary spirit that we see strongly at work everywhere these days, and we have for decades. You know, when did we see this? Most notably in the post-CIA era, the post-World War II era, what Tom Brokaw calls the greatest generation, those folks, you know, the World War II generation and their parents, after the crash of 29, Black Monday, you know, they were standing in breadlines. This is an oversimplification, I understand, but they were just trying to function in life and get things done. You come forward a generation from the World War II generation to the baby boomers, and suddenly we have the institutionalizing of color revolution, if you will. And we saw it here in the civil rights movement in particular and some other things, but you know, here and around the world, it's the institutionalizing of color revolution. And obviously in the post-CIA era, or in the CIA era, you might say. So it's interesting. You know, Mike Huckabee said, how do you create chaos in the world? How do you create upheaval so that you can constantly remake it in the fashion that Wes Clark intimated? We should probably play that, speaking of, you know, how and why color revolution works. You know, he said, so you can use the military to not to for defense, but to go out and turn the world upside down and remake it under our control. Sometimes you don't use the military, though. Sometimes you use the soft revolution, the color revolution. It's one of the weapons, or it is one of the components that employs a variety of weapons, you might say. So it's important to understand how this works, what's happening, so we can navigate it. It'd be great if we could stop all this nonsense. I don't like the remaking of things, the destruction of history, unleashing the nihilists and the atheists in the fashion that Pike allegedly wrote in his letter to Giuseppe Mazzini back in 1871, August 15, 1871. I don't want the nihilists and the atheists unleashed, you know. And you have to wonder, try to start something. There are influencers, there are people who are, you know, there is a little bit of truth, a little bit of reality to things like Malcolm Gladwell's The Tipping Point. You know, there are different personality types. I know someone, for example, a guy I've known for years since the mortgage industry, don't talk too much these days, but I mean, I've seen him interact with people. And like Malcolm Gladwell says, there are the, I think that person's the connector, in his personality types. The person who knows an unusually high number of people, but doesn't have really deep relationships with any of them. That's this person I'm thinking of. And he does. He genuinely knows over 1,000 people that he's friends on Facebook with whom he's friends on Facebook. So, you know, I don't even know what it is. At last count, it was over 1,000. And who knows that many people? And, you know, so you have some people that are cult of personality, and that's disingenuous. And then you have the rest of us who know a few people, but not nearly that many people. And he actually knows these people. So there is some truth to that. But then all of that is wired together in cybernetic, technocratic fashion and weaponized against people. But again, that's probably a side note. Anyway, Mike Huckabee said 10 years ago plus now, besides the threat of small groups of educated people launching isolated attacks, we face the danger of mass movements of the dispossessed and discontented rising up. And again, the context was continuing, he said, in the Islamic world and overthrowing their governments. And here's what's interesting. Then he speaks to exactly what I'm talking about, specifically color revolution and the CIA's weaponizing and institutionalizing of it to overthrow foreign governments in what they call covert or not so covert regime change actions, which is a fact of history that even Wikipedia talks about. Dozens and dozens of covert regime change actions, and that doesn't include many more that are less publicized, shall we say. So anyway, dispossessed and discontented rising up in the Islamic world, Huckabee said, and overthrowing their governments. Movements like those that led to the current government in Iran when the Shah was overthrown. Who instituted that? How covert regime change. And to the Palestinians, election of Hamas and then their takeover of Gaza and who instituted that. It's funny, and I'll get to another excerpt from his speech back on September 28th, 2007. Mike Huckabee's foreign policy speech, the CFR speech at the CSIS, because he alludes to the hidden hand behind all of this nonsense and speaks to the events that but he doesn't mention the forces on this side of the curtain, namely the CIA, that are responsible for orchestrating this, and certainly doesn't speak to the hidden hand behind the curtain, but he knows. He knew, which is why he was prostrating himself to say, I know how this works. I can do it. Barack Obama did it pretty darn well, though, probably better than Huckabee would have. So that's why he got tapped. Anyway, continuing. This is the operative quote, though. Huckabee said, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings. Aha. The Marxist, Leninist, Trotskyite, Stalinist ideologues, Maoist, etc. To create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings. And poor, what do those people do? Basically, they go around giving Charlie Chaplin's speech from The Great Dictator. That's what they do, getting people stirred up. So to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. Before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate. It took a small number of intellectuals to provide the theory and then rally oppressed peasants behind them. The ruling class is the spark. Actually, that's not true. The intellectuals who are set in motion by the ruling class is, you see, so you always have that raised capstone operating seemingly above the rest of the pyramid, don't you? Way up in the stratosphere, we can't recognize that because, you know, it's like that high altitude spraying crap that doesn't show up on the, you know, places like flightaware.com and flightradar24.com. Why doesn't that show up? It's interesting. Anyway, but the way Huckabee said it, the ruling class is the spark, but the underclass is the fuel. A strong middle class is the firewall. What has happened to the firewall, to the middle class, particularly through the Obama years, particularly after the subprime contagion, which was not an accident? Again, Bruce Wiseman's article series on that over at Canada Free Press, I think, is instrumental, or not instrumental, it's essential reading. That's what I mean. So in the institutionalizing of this concept of color revolution, the CIA has masterfully implemented a constant state of havoc and revolution through a variety of means. There are no accidents. You know, Serta Popovic will tell you that. You listen to any video that he's been in, he'll brag basically about the not so spontaneous uprisings that were planned years in advance in the Arab Spring, for instance. And that's just one of the most recent iterations, the Arab Spring. So, now that was interesting. You know, you see some of the videos. Some people get it. You see some of the videos on YouTube, you know, things like Parkland Spring, Florida Spring, stuff like that, to the effect that this kind of havoc is being created. So to create havoc in the world, this is a very provocative statement and very a great deal of accuracy and precision and dealing with the talking points, with perhaps the exception of, you know, that hidden hand. It's not the ruling class, it's the intellectual class. So there's a sort of sleight of hand there, and a logical and equivocation fallacy, sleight of hand sort of thing going on there. Anyway, to create havoc in the world, you need educated people to provide the intellectual underpinnings and poor, desperate people to provide the manpower. And before the Russian Revolution, the rural peasants who formed the overwhelming bulk of the population weren't sitting around reading Karl Marx. They were illiterate, like Americans today, functionally illiterate. They can function, but like George Carlin said, they have enough faculty about them to operate the machine, but not enough to actually ask questions, not to be the small group of educated people launching isolated attacks. The educated people challenging the establishment, especially the establishment that is seeking to turn things upside down and reorder things, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink. So if to create havoc in the world, you need the intellectuals to, you know, the intellectual spark to light the underclass fuel on fire, first you have to get rid of that firewall. Haven't we seen that? In America, we have. You see it, you know, in other places around the world. And the CIA, again, you know, one of the best things I think Michael Rupert ever did was really blow the lid wide open on how the CIA has always been, first and foremost, a financial operation, because, you know, that's the way that you do everything else. So it's sort of the economic, I don't know, Praetorian Guard, basically, of the Federal Reserve ne'er-do-wells. You use the CIA as a sort of nefarious outlet for all kinds of things. It's not accountable. It's insane. The CIA operates with almost complete impunity. It should be the most bizarre and horrifying thing to every American. It's entirely undemocratic. It's entirely un-American. It really is. You know, you listen to the quotes of folks. William Casey's infamous quote, "When everything the American public believes is false, mission accomplished." What? That was in the Reagan era. Ralph McGahee's quote, "The CIA is not now, nor has it ever been, a central intelligence agency. It is the covert action arm of the president's foreign policy advisors." John Stockwell's quote, to the same effect. And all of the others, Victor Marchetti's intimations, Philip Agee's, you know, every person you hear come out, it's either propaganda on one side and misinformation, disinformation, or it's folks like Ralph McGahee, John Stockwell, Philip Agee, you know, William Casey's shocking admission, what William Colby said. Before Congress, you know, about propagandizing the American people. Oh, yeah, we keep journalists on staff. I mean, shocking admissions. Operating with impunity. Today, what accountability is there? And as I keep saying, it just seems to kind of fall on deaf ears when you tell people the things that Gina Haspel is or is not responsible for, if you believe the plausible deniability, but the things that she has been, we'll just say, accused of. I've mentioned the war crimes that were in view of the Nuremberg trials, during the Nuremberg trials. What Gina Haspel, Jose Rodriguez, and company have been accused of, it far exceeds the war crimes that were in view during the Nuremberg trials. What does that tell us about America, where we're at? Do we understand? Are we paying attention? It's horrifying. It should be. So the point is, as we're about to head into a break, if you want to create havoc, here's a recipe to do it. The color revolution formula, basically. It's the Marxist color revolution formula. Get people stirred up, intellectual. That's what Marx did. That's what Nesta Webster wrote about, to deceive the people whose simple faith. And that's what they were doing. They infiltrated the Workers' Party. They got in with the working men. You know, went into the pubs and places and befriended these folks and basically weaponized them against themselves. And like Nesta Webster wrote, it is difficult to write of these things calmly, for to deceive the people whose simple faith and lack of education prevent them seeing whether they're being led is as cowardly as to guide a blind man into a ditch. But that's precisely what they did. And you fast forward 100 plus years later, that's what's happening today. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back.
And you can never get a
Final segment of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, May 17th, 2018. It all goes together. You got to have an engine for this. It's the money. You know, Jefferson, the four horse of this frightful team, is public debt. Which is an interesting quote in itself. We must make our election between economy and liberty, or profusion and servitude. So you have to have an engine. It's the specious currency, which Andrew Jackson warned against. You know, if bad guys can create a bad guy mechanism, the Mandrake mechanism, and use specious currency both to accomplish, you know, pay anyone anywhere as much as they want, whenever they want, to do whatever they want, that's bad. And B, to steal, confiscate secretly in Keynesian fashion the wealth of a nation, so to speak. And it's worse now. This mechanism has jumped from that to now the technocratic system of, you know, the new international economic order, resource-based model that will not be based on currency, or it'll be units of resources used, controlled by the technocrats, of course. If we like you, you get lots of units. If you're a conscientious objector, then, you know, your units get turned off. So, you know, it's an entirely different model versus a resource-based monetary system that is rooted in substance, not carbon emissions credits and crap like that. Every once in a while I talk about the event that I attended at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. I think that was like 2009. It was one of these big conferences. I forget what the title of it was, but it was not publicized at all. There was a paper in Texas that covered it. This is Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, you know, the panhandle of Idaho up near the Canadian border. So there was a paper in Texas that wrote a tiny article about it after the fact, and then a paper up in Canada that wrote a tiny article about it after the fact. And it was attended by, you know, Governor Butch Otter and a number of what were referred to as international dignitaries. The Canamex contingent, so to speak. And a few others. So, you know, political and diplomatic royalty. Hogwash. Anyway, so I went and asked a couple of questions during one of the sessions and was immediately encouraged to leave. Because I was, you know, not fond of the carbon credit nonsense. Carbon sequestration. You mean you're going to pump a bunch of stuff that you think is bad back into the earth and you're going to create a big balloon? What happens if it pops? Okay, sir, you can leave. And you're gonna pay people for creating a problem that you're going to create more problems. You're going to charge people, excuse me, to create another problem because of the problem you created. You're going to charge people and then, you know, again, extort them further for problems you created while you create another problem on top of a problem you already created. That doesn't sound like a recipe for long-term success to me. Sounds like a bad idea. I object. Sir, you can kindly leave. Anyway, so we have these layers upon layers of bad guy stuff. It all starts with the monetary system, the specious currency. I think, you know, a lot has been said. A lot of great people have said a lot of great things. Richard Cook wrote an article